Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and we connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have two new business friends in the studio today, Dr. Gilda Carl, media's go-to relationship expert and performance coach. Welcome today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Sam Levy, one of Phoenix's hottest young real estate agents with Home Smart Realty. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That's quite a lead-in for both of you, right? So let's start just to have a conversation about what the two of you are up to in 2018 and see if we can help our listeners get to know you better with the hope to bring you more business. Let's start with Dr. Gilda. I know that you're fairly new to the Phoenix area.
I am. I came here from New York. And I'm glad not to be there right now. It's so cold.
What, did they just get dumped on with snow?
Oh, killer snow for months.
Yeah.
My friends are saying, you don't know what you're missing. I said, I'm not missing it at
not
all.
Not a thing, right? Not a thing. And what? How do you like our weather? I know we talked before we got on air that you were doing a segment yesterday. Tell us about
that. Oh, my goodness. I was doing a TV shoot yesterday outside because they wanted to do it in front of the Love sign in Scottsdale. And I was freezing. I said, here I came to Phoenix to get warm. And here I'm colder than ever. My eyes were tearing. My nose was dripping. When I got off air, I looked at my nose. It was beet red. I said, oh my goodness, with all the years of experience I've had on television, I have never had anything like this. I hope it's usable as footage.
And today it's going to be, I think, 75, and I think the winds have died down. So
naturally, no figure.
Right. We could have swapped Business Radio X yesterday and the TV segment today.
Right.
Gilda, how does a person go from being a teacher in the South Bronx to an advisor to Fortune 500 companies to the national media's go-to relation expert? There's got to be a great story there.
Well, actually, when I got started in the South Bronx, I thought I had a mission, and that's where I wanted to land as a teacher. And soon I found that I wanted to ascend, and I got certified in New York State as a teacher, a principal, and a school superintendent. And while I was doing all that work, I was getting my PhD in educational leadership. So I was always taking on side jobs, side careers to become a leader in education. One thing led to another thing, and I ended up going to a college to become a college professor. And I did that for a lot of years. And then I started my own business as a management consultant in the corporate world. And one thing led to another. And Fortune 500 companies were just calling me in. They loved the fact that I was real, that I wasn't as staid as the trainers that they had in their corporations. And I touched people in a way that apparently nobody else had done. So I just kept going and going and going. And they offered me full-time jobs to do that in various companies. And I said, no, I'm not sure I want to do a full-time job. So I was college teaching for a very long time, but I was also writing books. And then all of a sudden, television found me.
They fell in love with you.
It just worked. It gelled. The first show that I was on was a CNBC business show. And I was sitting in the studio with the editor-in-chief of Success magazine. And I had been reading that magazine cover to cover. I said to him, can I take you to lunch? I have something I want to show you. And it was a videotape. At that point, I hadn't even written one book. It was a videotape I had done called Project Your Power Image. He then called me and he said, my God, you are so great. We are putting this in the magazine for sale. And that was the first start to my entrepreneur behavior and career. And that was the best selling item they had. Before that, they only had books, but videotapes they had never taken on. And I said, oh my goodness. And out of $1,500 investment I made for that videotape, I made back $25,000. And I said, this is pretty fun. And that led to other things and other things and other things. And so I was in charge of all the interpersonal relationships in companies. They called me in when there was a problem between partners, between CEOs and their staff, between staff members. And one thing just exploded into another thing. And I remember I was down at 55 Wall Street at Citibank, and I was running a program for them, and the bottom line had so gone crazy that every other department in that bank said, we want Dr. Gilda to come in and run this for our employees. And so I was there at Citibank for quite a number of years on Wall Street. And one of the executives said, we just look forward to your aphorisms every morning. We call them Gildagrams. Do you know that that became my trademark? So when I talk to people about interpersonal relationships in corporate America, I also spoke to individuals about their personal relationships. And so my career started to expand from just corporate America to personal relationships as well. And so before you knew it, I was doing counseling and advising on relationships from the boardroom to the bedroom. Everything in between, because you can't separate people. You can't say, well, this is a work issue, because it's never a work issue. Some woman came to me to learn to be a better manager, and we were working privately for quite some time. As it turned out, she was having marital problems. So I said, wait a minute, let's deal with that. Once we were able to heal that, well, she started ascending in her corporation, in her job. She got about 3 job promotions when we were working together. So I knew that I was onto something very, very important. You cannot segregate, well, this is a personal problem and this is a business problem. And I was in one company and the vice president came up to me and he said, I have to thank you. You have made such an impact on the relationship I have with my partner at home. I said, but I've never talked to you about that. He said, it's all the same. When you are acting respectfully in your work environment, you learn how to act respectfully much better at home. So one thing just kept leading to another thing, Karen.
And here you are.
Here I am.
So your goals for 2018, and why Arizona?
I have family here. My sister's here. My niece is here, and she has triplet little ones. And the girls are 7 years old now. And I missed seeing them growing up. And since I needed to get out of New York and that cold, I thought this is just great. With all the corporate background that I've had and all the work that I've done, I mean, Fox gave me my own pilot for my own TV show called The Dr. Gilda Show. I worked with that for a while, and I was the go-to therapist on Sally, Jesse, Raphael and every other talk show. I've been on TV and radio from Dateline to Howard Stern. Everything. It really ran the gamut. And producers kept telling me, there are so few people who could go from business to personal. But how could you not? You know, some guy said, I also have a nonprofit for homeless female veterans because it's all about empowerment. Everything I talk about is about relationships, communication, and and of course, empowerment. Because if you're not empowered in your interpersonal relationships, wherever they may be, you're not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys at Alliances, Nick Lowry, invited me to feed the homeless on Christmas Day. And I went there and he texted me, he said, "Boy, you just came in and all you gave is love." And I said, "Nick, what else is there but love?" And that's the bottom line.
Agreed. Sam and I are smiling and nodding our heads.
That's
yes.
Great. Yeah.
It's true, right? At the end of the day, I mean, money makes a difference. Money makes things easier.
Yeah, but money comes and goes.
Yes.
But with love, if you have love, that can be sustained. Mm-hmm. And without love, where are you? Who are you? And what do you have to give?
Yeah.
And one of the books I wrote, I've written 17 books.
How many? 17?
Wow.
Yeah, I've written 17 books. And I also wrote a weekly column for the Today Show called 30 Second Therapist. And I also wrote a biweekly column for Match.com for 8 years called Ask Dr. Gilda. And I was the love doc on MTV. So I had my own show with that. And it was, you know, everything that we do, it's all the same. And I counsel people around the world. And they come to me on my website, drgilda.com, for private advice in half-hour segments. And I'll tell you, if I'm talking to an attorney in Brussels or a top-level executive countries in South America, it's all the same. Everybody's after the same thing. We all want love, of course, but in corporate America, we don't call it love. We call it support. Mm. We all want support and success. And just by changing the dialogue, just tweaking it a little tiny bit, it's so easy to touch people's hearts and get them enthused about being empowered.
And having been a former teacher and an administrator as well, I know we talked about that the other day when we saw each other at the East Valley Women's breakfast. I know those same rules apply in the classroom, right? The word that comes to me is validation. We're all looking to be acknowledged and validated.
That's right. And now, more than ever before, with all the sexual harassment around us, what are we doing next? It is extremely important for all of us to feel empowered, to be able to say no, so that we are able to say yes when we want to. Mm-hmm. But if we're wasting our yeses on things that are making us feel bad after the fact, we are sabotaging our ability to say yes when it really counts. That's very important. And the messages that I bring to the homeless female veterans, to young women, to everybody, and to men, because men are struggling as much as our women are today.
They just have a tougher front.
Well, yeah.
And they, a thicker exterior.
Yeah, they've been taught not to show themselves as being vulnerable. And yet, every man I counsel, I have to educate him and tell him that vulnerability is the biggest turn on to a woman that you didn't even know. And they're looking at me like, what? What?
Yeah.
But that is the reality. All of us, we don't have to come across with this very strong front and think that we are putting on this role. Men who are knights in shining armor, forget about it. Guys, take off your armor. Ladies, what are you trying to prove by saying yes when you really mean no? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to prove? And for those of you out there who are thinking that you are never going to get that promotion unless you say yes, honey, you don't need that promotion. Mm-hmm. You've got a better promotion coming for you somewhere down the line, and you don't even know that yet.
Love it. talking about corporations and women in business, how do you feel women are faring in corporate America today?
It's very interesting you should ask that, because Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook, talks about the fact that women in the business arena do not want to take on leadership roles. She says that they are graduating from business school. And I was a professor. I'm professor emerita of a business school in New York. And they're graduating with honors. And yet when it comes to taking on really advanced positions, they are refusing to do that for fear that they are going to be thought of as less attractive, unmarriageable, and being a real B-I-T-C-H. They are fearing that. And so instead of that, they are dropping out instead of getting in there and fighting. So I said, look, I know this. I have seen this with the women I've worked with on the MBA level. And I said, this has got to stop. So I wrote one. So Sheryl Sandberg said that it starts at home. And women are not really taking on egalitarian positions with the men in their lives. The women have got to understand that if they are not equal partners, they're going to come into corporate America as subordinates. And so I wrote a book for young women called Don't Lie on Your Back for a Guy Who Doesn't Have Yours.
That's a great title.
Everybody said, oh my goodness, I got to read that. And just like Sam is saying, whether it's from a man or a woman, men are saying, my daughter has to have that. Men are saying, I need to read that. Mothers are saying, oh my Lord, I should have had this book when I was growing up. I read it because I wanted to see what my daughter was reading. And I needed to know these pieces of advice as much as my daughter needs to have them. So I wrote this book, and it's doing very, very well. But that's for understanding, as these women are out there, especially our millennial women, as these women are out there and looking for a guy who's cute, who's a good wage earner. Ladies, cut that out. What you really need is a guy who has your back. Because if you don't look for that, you will never have an equal partnership. And if you don't have an equal partnership, you're going to end up in one of these anger management programs that I have run, saying, I am so upset. Here I am. I've raised the kids. I've supported my husband. And now he's gone. They're gone. And who am I? What am I? And they're angry. So I want to stave that off. So I wrote that book for the younger women, the millennials, who are out there spending $840 billion a year. That's why companies are so interested in talking to me now, because I have their ear. So they're spending $840 billion a year and then coming to me for relationship advice because the guys aren't wooing them and pursuing them because they're hooking up. And they don't understand that mama was right. Why should he buy the cow when he's getting the milk for free?
Yeah.
So I'm telling them all of this. But as they mature, the second book in my program that I have been using is called One-Up Strategies Business Schools Don't Teach. Because you don't have to be afraid of intimidating men or even other women. Instead, you have to understand the meaning of who sits where in a conference room, how to shake hands so that it is strong and powerful, and yet it is not intimidating. How to deal when you're having bad days so you're not barking at people. These are the things that we have never taught in our business school curriculums. I know because I was out there and teaching. So the two of them together I've used them as part of the program for millennial women. And I call it Millennial Women Are a Business Asset. Hmm. And for the companies out there, we have got to support that. And we're not supporting that very well because everybody's after the bottom line. And you can't just call somebody like me in to put out fires. You've got to start it when the fires haven't started yet.
And let it become part of the culture.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It has to be. And in terms of my triplet nieces, I'm teaching them all of this now. And I want to continue making an impact in their lives. But I have been influencing so many women. Women are saying, my testimonials on drgilda.com are all talking about, you saved my life. And this is for men and women. You saved my life. And it was so natural for me to just go into this nonprofit that I started called Country Cures for homeless female veterans and teach them empowerment skills. And these are some of the finest women I have ever met. They come out of the military and they're strong and they're tough. But you know what? Our culture does not like strong, tough,
right,
determined women. And so I am giving them back their femininity with, and because there was no book for them to read, I wrote a book specially for them. It's called Don't Bet on the Prince. It's been published in so many different languages. And it's called Don't Bet on the Prince because the subtitle is How to Have the Man You Want or the Job You Want or Anything Else You Want by Betting on Yourself. Hmm. And of course, I meant this for women, but men are reading this because they're saying they have ascended the corporate ladder because they are betting on their on themselves a lot more firmly because they have read the tenets in the book that talk about how to project a power image, how to learn how to receive. I mean, it's all the things that we've never been taught. So whether it's men or women, I write self-help books for women because publishers are telling me that, well, men are not going to read these books.
Oh,
well, they read
them.
Yeah. Well, they read them. One of the guys in one of my graduate courses was walking around with that book, Don't Bet on the Prince, with a plain brown cover over it. He didn't want anybody to see. He said, oh my God, I loved your course so much, Dr. Gilda. And I said, then how come you're covering the book? He said, no, I don't want anybody outside to know what I'm doing. See, then I'm reading this women's book. But another guy was walking around in Manhattan with this book. He said, this is like
a chick magnet.
That's what he said. How did you know
I
that?
I just would guess. Yeah. I know how that goes.
This is such a chick magnet. Women are stopping me in the street saying, so you're reading that book? Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, love it. What a treat. So how do people get your books? Through your website?
Oh, everything's on Amazon.
Amazon, of course.
Amazon,
yeah.
Of course. Come to my website, drgilda.com. And if you need personal advice, of course, whether it's personal coaching, whether it's business coaching, whatever it involves, it's the issue is never the issue that you think it is. Mm. You only see 20%. It's the pyramid effect, the iceberg effect. You only see 20% of what that issue really is. And what I do, I've learned this on television, that I do this very quickly. I can uncover what your issues are. One, two, three. And very quickly, we're off and running. And you're running up there on that corporate ladder more quickly than you ever thought imaginable.
And to get involved in your Millennial Women's Empowerment is a corporate asset program. That's through your website as well.
Yes, yes. Just get in touch with me. It's real simple.
Fantastic. Yeah. And who can we help introduce you to now that you've landed in our great state? And I know you've obviously already been to alliances and connected with East Valley Women. What introductions would be helpful?
I wish I had an answer for that because I don't know very many people here yet. But I have all these skills from corporate America and from the media. And I'm still working in media in the New York area. So I have all these skills and I help people sell whatever it is they need to sell. So I don't know, Karen.
You stay in touch. I know we'll be in touch. I already have some ideas.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And how great it is for you to have this evolving and ascending career when you described at the beginning of our show what it was like to have this video reel, I'll call it, that people weren't doing video back then to the degree that you were. And you've built a whole career with that in mind. And now with social media and live streaming, you really could live anywhere you want and continue to have such a positive, empowering impact on women and men across the globe.
I could not have done this years ago.
Yeah, no.
And it took so much courage because I was born, educated, and I lived throughout my life in New York. And then one day I said, I want my family. Yeah. I want to be with my family. And I had just broken up with a guy. So it was perfect timing.
Yep.
It was just perfect timing. And here I am. So I'm looking for new adventures because everything in our life is an adventure. And I'm looking for each one, each day. I never know what's going to happen.
Love it. Share with our listeners then one more time where they can get a hold of you.
DrGilda.com. DrGilda.com.
That's easy.
So easy. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And social media. No, we'll put that on our platform as well.
Yes. I'm on every social media you could imagine.
Great. Yeah. Well, Sam's been nodding and smiling and also probably not sure what just hit him.
Yeah, that was a bomb. So
Kind
of processing. In a good way, in a good way.
So. In a good way.
Yeah. A good bomb.
Yes.
Are you okay to stay with us, Gilda, while we turn our attention to Sam and join us in that conversation as well? So, when we came to the studio before we went live, I asked Sam if you've been on radio and TV yet, and he said no. And I said, "Well, we're both sitting here with a pro, so we're learning from Dr. Gilda."
Right. Yeah, this is my first time, so that was an experience for sure.
Well, while I know this medium, I don't know this area. So you have that over
that's
me.
That's true.
And that's your sweet spot as our realtor and grew up here in the Valley. Am I right? Are you native?
Born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona. My parents and grandparents from here. So we date back long bloodline in Phoenix and went to ASU. So I'm very familiar with, you know, everything that Phoenix has to offer, all the different cities around Phoenix and everything about Phoenix.
And when you were at ASU, had the plan been to go into real estate?
No. So I went to ASU with a degree in marketing. And about halfway through my senior year, my family had a house that they were going to sell. My grandparents had passed away. And so the house was just sitting vacant for about a year. And they basically just said, if you want to try it, you know, go ahead and try it. So that was not the plan at all. You know, I was very interested in marketing. So I decided to try it anyway, got my license, sold the house. It was like a really quick sale. It turns out that area is a very prestigious area. And, you know, I sold it in 2 days. It was a big sale, $1 million sale. So after that, you know, I got the check and I was like, wow, this is gotta be this has got to be the easiest profession there is, right? So after school, I went to a marketing firm and worked at a marketing firm for a year. And then the marketing firm kind of fell apart and got acquired by a bigger marketing firm. And at that point, I decided that, you know, if I'm ever going to try a business where it's 100% commission, this is probably the time, considering I'm, you know, 22 years old, don't have a family, you know, don't have any real financial responsibilities at the time. So I tried it and here we are 3 years later still doing it.
Wow. And you're in a good market right now. Tell us about that, right? Because it's a buyer's market right now?
So the market is fairly layered, I would say. There's big price range difference, you know, depending on where you are in Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa. So I would say sub 250 price point, that's probably a seller's market. There's a lot of buyers looking for, you know, sub 250 properties. So that's a seller's market. As we get up to the higher price points, it kind of becomes a buyer's market just because there's not a lot of, you know, inventory. So buyers hold the chips in that case. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairly layered market, but the market is really strong out here. And I see the market continuing to go up. So that's a good thing.
And Dr. Gilda, when you moved here, you purchased or did?
I did. Yeah. And I didn't know what I was doing. I asked my realtor, I said, look, I want a huge apartment building like Manhattan has. He said, there are no such things.
Yeah, good luck.
Because I wanted to be in the city in Scottsdale. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, well, then I want a doorman. What? He said, there are no doormen.
Yeah, no doorman here. That's for sure.
So I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do?
Yeah, there's no... My brothers actually live in New York City, so...
then you know.
Yeah, and I have family in upstate, so we've been traveling back and forth from New York for quite some time. There is no doorman in Phoenix.
I know.
And, it's
such
quite
a different living, yeah.
But I found a concierge building. I'm very happy there. I'm right across the street from Valley Ho.
Oh, it's a great area.
It's a great area. I can walk. Some days I don't even use my car. I mean, it's just
perfect.
We did not know what we were doing. My sister was with me and she told the realtor, listen, you know, she's not going to buy, but she's interested in seeing what's around. Then I saw this building and I saw the area and I said, I think this is, and then I saw the pool on the, goodness, in the sky.
Right.
Sweet. Oh, I said,
this is it.
This, I could live here.
Yeah.
I was really uneducated. Mm-hmm. I did not know.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Do you find that a big portion of your job is educating?
Yes. Huge portion. So I take that very seriously. And along with, you know, lenders and title companies, I take education very seriously. I will educate, you know, a seller or a buyer to any extent that I feel, you know, they need to be educated or any extent that they want to be educated. So it really just depends on, you know, the type of client that it is, whether it's an experienced investor or a first-time buyer. You know, I take education seriously on any front, and I consider that a big part of my job.
Is there a particular client that you like to work with best? I mean, new home buyers or...
Not necessarily a client that I like to work with best. They all present different challenges, which makes the job fun. Dealing with new home buyers or first-time buyers is fun because, you know, they're just excited to be out there and kind of looking at houses, seeing what, you know, how close they can kind of get to the HGTV type of home. And, you know, just opening doors for them is great because they're so excited. And then on the other end, working with investors or, you know, high-end clients is also exciting for me because I get to go into these, you know, great homes or these potential flips, and projects are really fun for me. That's part of my experience working with flips and investors. So it's a big difference, but I take all clients, you know, at face value, and they're all equally important to me, and they're all equally fun too.
See, Sam and I share the whole attitude of life about every day being an adventure.
Oh yeah. In real estate, every single day is an adventure. So it's
And I don't
for
see
sure.
how anybody could live a 9-to-5 job saying, oh, I have to go to work.
Right.
You know, I train people to say, oh, I'm looking forward to go to work every day.
Yep.
Rather than I have to go to work. Everything is in the words that we use.
Yeah. Yeah. When I wake up in the morning, you know, I'm checking my email right away. I'm not dreading, you know, getting into the office or checking my email. I'm excited to see what the day has to offer, even when the days are very stressful and tough. So that can happen often too, but there's still, you know, I'm still thankful for it and it's all fun.
Well, I coach people to say, instead of, oh God, morning, to say, oh, morning. God.
Yeah, right. Here yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm so lucky to be in this position.
Yeah. And about 3 years into your real estate career then?
Well, about 4 years now, 3 years full time. Oh, so,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, your grandmother left you this legacy, didn't she?
My grandmother was actually a realtor. So
she
really knew.
Yeah. Wow. So my grandmother lives in Paradise Valley. That's so funny that you say that. She was a realtor for, she's from New York City, actually.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I have family, like I said, from New York. They moved here. She moved here when she was young, but she was a realtor here for about 30 years. So I wasn't just stepping into the, you know, the field completely blind. She was there to kind of hold my hand and guide me while I got off and running.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
We've mentioned a couple different areas of the Valley. Do you work all over the Valley or
yes.
do you have a preference? You are.
So I'm a native of Central Phoenix, which I, you know, would consider probably between the 17 to the 51. If you know that area, really that whole span, that's where I grew up, but I've sold homes on 154th Avenue and I've sold homes in East Mesa. So I do not discriminate. I'll go anywhere. I have no boundaries at all.
I love that because when it comes to referral-based business,
yes.
you know, it's not always going to be area-specific or even price point-specific.
Right.
So for you to leave yourself open to really working with anybody, I would imagine referrals come quite, not only that, but you're handsome and you're articulate
thank
as
you,
well.
Thank you. I appreciate
oh, you called him the hottest realtor. Come
he
on.
Is the hottest.
Is that what
man.
I said? Oh, look, he's getting red.
Don't make me blush.
You're already blushing.
Let's see, how can we shift the subject back to real estate?
From hot?
Right. Hot. What tips do you have then for people who are looking to sell their home?
Okay, so when you're looking to sell your home, I would recommend, you know, there's a few different things that you can do. I always recommend painting your home. That's something that a lot of people look past.
They don't want my purple walls. Right. Red walls.
A lot of people have, you know, different things, whether their kids were growing up and so they have, you know, a sky in the, on the ceiling or, you know,
baseball field.
Yeah, you know, whatever it might be, a pink bedroom for, you know, a girl, whatever it might be, or a boy. So I always recommend painting the house. We want to make sure that the house is neutral, because when a lot of buyers come into a home, they can have trouble visualizing themselves living there if it's very, very taste specific to your particular taste, you know, and the home that you lived in for a long time. So I recommend going neutral with paint, both on the inside and outside. I've seen plenty of houses that are, you know, painted bright yellow on the outside or orange on the outside, which to me, you know, it's totally fine. But if you're going to sell your home, we need to make sure that everything is neutral so we can get as many prospective buyers in the door as possible.
Mm-hmm. So it's worth that extra time and that extra expense to be able to put it on the market.
I would recommend that for sure. I mean, especially nowadays with everything being online and through social media, if someone doesn't like a picture of your house, which
not
leads,
coming by.
Yeah, which leads me to my next point of professional photos, then they're not going to come. So when they're scrolling, if the photos are taken by, you know, a flip phone, camera phone, whatever, smartphone, or, you know, if the house is painted orange, yellow, bright green, you know, those things as a combination don't really hold over too well for buyers who are, you know, looking online, which is where every single person looks.
Even
nowadays.
Here locally, obviously, Dr. Gilda's from out of town, but if I'm sitting at my home and I'm getting ready to make a transition, I'm not going to go drive around necessarily right away. I have such easy access through the internet. So quality photos.
Yes.
And then painting.
Yes.
Other suggestions that you have then?
Yeah, I would do, I would recommend landscaping the home as well. So I think that professional landscaping or just good maintenance of the landscape
manicured,
is very important.
Yeah,
very manicured. A lot of people, you know, when they put their home on the market, they'll kind of just let it sit and just, you know, go about it as if they were living there normally, which, you know, when people come to see your home, if you forgot to cut the grass or there happens to be, you know, something in the yard that's not supposed to be there, whether the front or the back, that can be a big turnoff, you know, for a lot of buyers. And once they kind of say no to your house and move on to however many they look at, it's just, you know, it's totally forgotten. So we want to make sure that everything is, you know, as perfect as possible and easy for people to envision themselves living in.
What about condos?
Condos are great. I mean, condos are, most people looking for a condo, you know, it's not going to be painted weirdly on the outside, but the inside, the same thing. I always recommend professional photos of that and, you know, keeping it neutral. Most of my buyers are single family buyers, but I have done several condo sales and it's the same thing. Just make sure that, you know, it's clean. Also make sure that, like I said, it's clean. So when people come in, there's not dishes in the sink or like toys all over the place, clothes on the ground or whatever. I see that all the time. And that is just, for some reason, buyers take that as a sign of, you know, a messy person, which can kind of turn them off from wanting to do a transaction with them because they just associate, you know, overloading dishes, food on the counters, you know, open beer. I see this kind of stuff all the time.
And all those judgments take place rapidly, right? They're not conscientiously thinking of it, but it's very subtle.
Yeah, it's unconscious. And when people make an assessment, you are so right, Sam. They just say, that. Okay, next.
Yeah.
They don't even have to know why, they just feel that.
That's right.
How about staging, Sam? When you go into, like, I've been in my home for 21 years. I'm not going anywhere. Right. I know that I would need to paint because I literally have, you know, the kid's bedroom with the football field and the basketball field or basketball court that I painted. And my living room is red and purple. And it's great home for me and for us.
Yeah.
But I know selling it, I'd have to go neutral.
Right.
But I also have, obviously, you know, we've acquired a lot of furniture and it's cozy for us. Do you encourage two things? One, to stage and also to thin things out. What should sellers be thinking about with that?
So staging is a really great thing to do. I recommend staging mostly for investors because it's hard for someone who's still living in the house, you know, to stage it, of course. But staging has a huge impact on selling a house because, like I've said, when buyers come into a vacant house with no furniture, it's very hard for them to envision, you know, how, okay, where's the couch going to go? Where's my TV going to go? How big is a how big of a bed can fit in this master? So when you stage, it takes all that away and people can just see, you know, first of all, the furniture is always beautiful when you use staging because they, you know, they know, they understand, you know, how many things to put in which room, what things to make it look, you know, great to make the room pop. So that's one thing. Transitioning to the point of having too much stuff or, you know, too taste specific furniture, that happens all the time. You know, it's just something that comes along with the territory of selling your home. But if you're going to sell your home and you really actually want to sell it, which some people put their home on the market, but they actually don't want it to sell, which is interesting.
I bet.
Yeah, it happens all the time. So I recommend, because I think people that have raised a family in their home or, you know, just been there for forever, once they, you know, they like the idea of, you know, they bought their house for $100,000, now it's worth $500,000, whatever. And so they can make all this profit. But once, you know, they get an offer and they actually see that the process is moving along. They say, oh, wow, I don't want to leave the house that, you know, I raised my family in. And so that happens a lot, which is, you know, it's unfortunate, but it happens. So another tip is that if you want to sell your home, really consider, you know, what that means before you put your home on the market, because it's likely, especially in this market, that it's going to sell. So.
Yeah, which goes back to all the conversation we've had with Dr. Gilda around really being able to stand the presence and power of who you are and what your needs are.
You see, it's
communication.
It all evolves back to the fulcrum of our lives. It all evolves to who am I? What do I want? How am I going to get there? And what am I prepared to do to get to where I want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree.
Totally important for people to understand. And most people, well, we're dealing with a lot of unconscious things. And most people don't know until they get that house offer and they're told, okay, somebody's interested. Oh, wait a minute.
They're interested in full price, or we have a couple of offers.
Yes.
And then they're looking at you right, like a deer in the headlights.
Right. It happens all the time. It happens all the time where, you know, that exact thing happens. And so, like I said, if you want to sell your house or you're thinking about it, really consider it. Sit down with, you know, your spouse and your family. And if you'd like to, if you lived in your home for 20 years, really consider it, because in this market, it's probably going to sell. And, you know, it's just unfortunate when you get a full price offer and, you know, it's just too good to turn away from. But you're dealing with that internal battle of, you know, I raised my family here. I don't want to leave. But now we're at this, you know, fork in the road. So.
Well, you know, any kind of internal battle is not productive. And it's also unhealthy for us. With all these contrary ideas in our heads, how are we functioning in the other parts of our lives?
Right. Yeah.
Especially with a big decision around selling and or purchasing a home, right?
Yes.
And oftentimes that comes with a life transition, either a shift in career, downsizing, growing as a family, whatever it is. There's so many different things that impact that. So you've
got to... Well, that's a basic security need. Remember Maslow and the hierarchy of needs?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So tell us about the advantages between buying and renting. I have my own kind of idea about that, but from a realtor perspective.
Okay. So from a realtor perspective, of course, you know, I sell homes. So, you know, selling or buying versus renting, in my opinion, if you're in the position to buy, you should definitely buy for, you know, a number of reasons. Some of those reasons are appreciation. You have a mortgage payment as opposed to paying your landlord's mortgage payment. And then, of course, you have the more sense of pride of ownership. You know, when you're renting, it's just kind of like not a hotel, but just a place to stay. And the pride of ownership generally isn't there. Also with renting, your landlord can fluctuate the rent and generally it's not going to go down. So, you know, with rents going up, with a mortgage, that doesn't happen. You know, you're either in a 15-year fixed, 30-year fixed, whatever the case may be, but you know what your payment is going to be. And of course, you have appreciation. You know, I think that I see Phoenix as a place where a lot of businesses are going to be moving to, considering that New York, LA, San Francisco, you know, they're getting priced, you know, out of almost every single person's, you know, ability to live. Mm-hmm. So Phoenix is a great option for tech companies to come to. And I see that happening, you know, in the near future. And I know Bill Gates purchased spent $85 million on a piece of land out in Tonopah, which to me is a great sign for the real estate market here in Phoenix. So now is a time to purchase, in my opinion, if you have the ability, and a lot of renters do, they just don't know it because they've never looked into it. They think they can't, but there's tons of down payment assistance programs, first time buyer programs that can assist you if you don't have a bunch of cash, where you can still purchase and then you own the home, you can do whatever you want to it. Like I said, if you want to paint it with a baseball field or, you know, whatever you want to do, then you're also locked in for your mortgage payment. So
you see, I went through the same mind bending at that point when I was looking, do I rent? Do I buy? And I felt the same way as you had just said. Why should I be paying somebody else's mortgage off?
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
If I can do this on my own. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just money thrown out the window.
That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I purchased.
Love it.
Smart.
How important is it to get the house price right from the get-go?
I look at that as the biggest thing. A lot of real estate agents will just take a listing at any price just because they want the listing. And, you know, I will not turn down a listing for sure. But I always really, what's the word I'm looking for? I always kind of sculpt my clients on what I think the market is for their particular home. And I'm always upfront and honest. Of course, in my business, you know, I take honesty and communication are the two things that, you know, are the cornerstones of my business. And so if somebody has a $300,000 home that they want to sell for $600,000 and they are absolutely hell-bent on that their home is worth $600,000, mm-hmm. then I, you know, I will just walk away from that because I don't want to, first of all, do all that work for myself. Second of all, I don't want to have to put them through the pain of having their home on the market, you know, for so long, because if it's overpriced, you know, then, you know.
Well, go ahead.
But that's probably somebody who doesn't even really, really want to sell.
Right. True. That's a good point.
So that's your tip.
You're spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that when, if a realtor comes in and they're hungry for that listing, mm-hmm. and they don't work with the seller to price it within a range that it's going to sell and benefit them, and they let them price it too high, I've heard over and over again, then that listing agent they let go of that agent.
Yes.
They'll pull it off the market for a couple of months.
Yep. Happened
all
the time.
And they'll find somebody else, only to go through that maybe 2, 3, 4 times.
Oh, what pain.
And ultimately sell it at the price that the original realtor told them.
Oh.
But they're the bad guy, right?
Yep.
Because they, so it goes back to solid communication, being really clear and concise and helping to educate, which is how we started
very
this
important.
Piece with you.
Yeah, very important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And which rooms, let's talk about aesthetically again. We talked a little bit about, you know, staging and painting and thinning things out, but also not having it completely empty.
Yes.
Are there rooms, I'm guessing the kitchen is probably one of them that really speaks volumes to any buyer?
Yes. So nowadays, like I've mentioned before, with HGTV being such a big show, and almost every single person that I work with watches those shows. And so, you know, they have an idea of what they want their kitchen to be like. And when we open the door, they go right to the kitchen, everybody, because that's, first of all, that's where you're going to spend most of your time as a family, or, you know, just as a single person. You're going to spend a lot of your time in the kitchen cooking, hanging out. That's where the living space is most likely, you know, centered around. So the kitchen is huge. If you're going to do a remodel, or, you know, thinking about doing an investment property or whatever it might be, I would always recommend working on the kitchen first, because even if you're going to live in your home, remodel it just to live in it, you know, continue to live in it. Kitchen is where you spend a lot of your time, and that's where you get the most value back with, you know, doing work. Generally speaking, when you do work to your home, you don't get the exact amount that you put in back when you sell it. Mm-hmm. But with a kitchen, it still might not be, but you get closer to that. Mm-hmm. So if you spend, you know, $10,000 on the kitchen, you know, you might get 8 or 9 back in sales price. So whereas opposed to, you know, if you do like you do all new wood floors or something, that can become very taste specific. So I recommend also staying away from taste specific things with the kitchen. You know, keep it nice and bright, white, you know, a solid surface countertop that, you know, is not too loud, isn't like a blue granite or something crazy where it's going to turn buyers off and they're going to have to fix it themselves when they go to, you know, move in and buy it. So those are a few tips that I have. The kitchen, and then also the master is a big room that, you know, if you're going to remodel or getting ready to sell your home and thinking about doing some work to it, the master is a big room for that as well, because you know, people spend the buyers, the parents usually of the family, or like I said, if you're a single person, you're going to spend a lot of time in the master. So we want to make sure that the master is as open, bright, airy, you know, inviting, welcoming as possible. So, you know, you want to come back and sleep there and get ready there and, you know, do everything you do in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Great tips.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How about, this is a crazy question. How about the environment in real estate? Because I'm getting a lot of calls from companies to do programs for them to avoid sexual harassment lawsuits.
Okay.
What about in your environment in real estate? Is there a lot of sexual harassment complaints? Because it's costing companies a fortune. Right. That's why I have been having dialogues with companies now, how to avoid getting killed with lawsuits.
Sure.
So, and reputation.
Right, right. So as far as the environment goes, like on an agent-to-agent basis, I don't see a lot of that. You know, I'm sure that it goes on with, you know, a lot of big agents have teams and have, you know, several different assistants. And, you know, I could see that that could happen for sure. I haven't heard of a case, at least in my company, which, you know, I'm extremely proud of. HomeSmart is the biggest residential brokerage in the state with over 6,000 agents. So to never hear of that, you know, is great. And I haven't heard of it really in any sense from an agent to agent basis. But what you do hear about a lot with sexual harassment is female agents holding open houses. Mm-hmm. And so what can happen there is, you know, if you hold an open house and you're in there by yourself, becomes a very easy target, unfortunately, for somebody to just come in, you know, act like they're just wanting to buy the home and, you know, maybe lock the front door behind them when they come in. And then, you know, usually when you tour a home, the agent will lead the tour. So let's say I was showing you both of you, you know, a home. I would lead you guys into the bedroom, lead you guys into, you know, the backyard, into the kitchen, into the living space, into the garage. So if I'm a female agent and, you know, a male is wanting to, you know, do whatever they want to do, rape, whatever, you know, as an agent, you lead their way into the bedroom. And then, you know, at that point, the agent is cornered and there's really nothing that they can do. A lot of female agents and a lot of male agents carry some type of weapon with them at an open house, or they will do it as a team.
They pair up.
This is where we've come. I mean, I'm very concerned about young women on college campuses, 1 in 4 yes. being raped.
Ridiculous.
I mean, this is just unheard of before. And we have to, and I'm telling my men, my male executives, make sure that you leave the door open every time you're interacting with somebody, male or female, because you don't know what their sexual persuasion is. So this is nothing to, you know, to take lightly as our country, as our culture. Well, it's really our country because Europe seems to be laughing at us with all of this.
Right.
But as our culture is taking on things that they have never taken on before. And I'm just having these dialogues now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they are going to accelerate.
Of course they are.
Because people just don't know how to act and react today with our interpersonal communications.
Yeah.
Dr. Gilda, while we're on that topic, how can a corporation protect itself from sexual harassment issues? I mean, one example you gave obviously is leaving the door open, but are there other things that you advise?
What we're finding, interestingly enough, is these canned programs online are being laughed at by employees. It is a requirement.
Oh.
I know in the college that I taught at, it was a requirement for everybody to take sexual harassment training online. And everybody said, what a waste of time. It didn't really get to the heart of the issue as we know it now. And so the company, that's why I'm having these dialogues now. The company is coming to me and saying, well, as a relationship communication expert, please tell us, what can we do? And I think I'm moving now because I've done so many seminars as lunch and learns. I think I'm moving now towards a lunch and learn format where it's more relaxed. It's not set up as a seminar and being told you should do this and here are the rules and you should
do
that.
More of a conversation.
More of a conversation so that people can truly express themselves and see how others are expressing themselves as well. But this is just starting, thanks to Harvey Weinstein et al. And people, listen, I've been around the media for so many years. I know a lot of the people who are no longer in the limelight. I was on Fox News for years, battling with a lot of these stars. I was on Court TV for years, talking to the lawyers about certain things. And a lot of those people are no longer in the limelight. I never had a problem in any of my dealings because I always held myself professionally. I'm ashamed to say that a lot of young women think that the only way to their empowerment is through flirtatiousness. And I'm sorry, we've sexualized young women so much that we have not taught them the other side of the coin, mm-hmm. how to protect themselves. So this is just one thing that I am training people to understand.
I have the opportunity, obviously, to speak with executive leaders and many folks who are leading corporations, as well as nonprofits and government entities here at Business Radio X. And I'm pleased to say that as a state and a Metro Phoenix business community, I'm seeing everyone, at least again, the conversation, take it very seriously and bringing it more to light so that it isn't this dark, shadowy thing that we don't talk about, we sweep under the rug. People are asking questions. How can we help our corporations? How can we help our employees? How can we help our folks that are 1099 and our customers? So it's really beneficial to see that shift.
But the reason they're taking it more seriously now is because the lawsuits have inundated.
Well, and thank goodness, right? Thank goodness that we have this new drive, you know, as driven by social media and people saying enough is enough. Right. Yeah.
Enough is enough. Yeah. Yes. But listen, I was a college faculty member and I know that when we talk about gender salaries and the parity, I know I was being paid less than male college professors. And I was told, shh, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. And that was not so long ago.
No.
So, you know, this all goes hand in hand, the sexual harassment and the pay equality. I mean, and the communication of being equal partners so that young women can go into corporate America and take on positions of leadership and not be afraid to voice their views.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't have a great segue for this because that's it is fine. Such an important topic, yeah. But I wanted to ask Sam about Phoenix Renews Garden.
Yes.
I think you shared that you were actively involved in that.
So Phoenix Renews Garden, that's a funny thing that you bring that up. So my mom is high up in a nonprofit in Phoenix. And so she is kind of heads up the public relations communications division of a nonprofit called Native Health, which focuses on Native American people, you know, in the metropolitan Phoenix area who need healthcare. So what they do is they partner with several different gardens, one of which is Phoenix Renews, is a program that, you know, kind of takes lots of land that, you know, are in the metro area and they turn them into gardens. So I volunteer there quite a bit, whether that, you know, we were building one in Pearson Place, which is on like 19th Avenue and Camelback. So we were building one and I was there every weekend helping with, you know, digging the dirt. Literally, it's just a vacant lot that they have transitioned into a garden. So I do that, you know, it's a fun thing to do. I also, you know, want to help my mom with, you know, everything that I can. So it's just a way to kind of give back to the people. They built a garden there. You know, we dug everything. They also put a piece of property there where somebody can live. So, you know, it's great what they've done there and they've made, you know, a way for people to get fresh produce and, you know, things that are a little bit more expensive that they might not be able to get their hands on, you know, at a very, you know, pretty much no cost. And it's just a great thing that I've been helping out with for a while now.
Love it.
Yes.
Servant-minded.
Isn't
educator.
That one? He really is hot.
He's a gem. Yeah, he really is hot.
Oh, you're making me blush.
Yes.
And he's getting red again.
Yes, that's good. Well, on that note, we'll close the show at the top of the hour. I really appreciate, of course, both of you being here today and just the opportunity. I always love when folks come into the studio they haven't met before. They represent completely different industries at different degrees of their career. And yet there's this synergy, right? You're both from back east. You both are servant leaders. You're educators. You care about the people that you work with deeply and great communicators. I mean, that to me is the theme that I've sensed with our time together today. So thank you so much for being part of our show.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Sam, before we head out for the day, can you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you?
Yes. So my website is samlevyhomes.com. That's samlevyhomes.com. Facebook and Instagram are both Sam Levy Realtor. So SamLevyRealtor. So if you want to find me on social media, those are my social media links. And my website is Sam Levy Homes. I'm always available to talk, text, call, email, you know, find me, DM me, whatever you want to do. I am always available to talk.
Yes, as any good realtor would be.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. Again, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.